Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We are back on the air. We had a little bit of technical problem this morning, and I take full responsibility for that problem. Neither one of us are too technically minded, so it took some adjusting to get back on the air, but here we are now. The audio that was from our other show will be uploaded at a later time, so this is a 45-minute episode that we're going to be doing right now, and hopefully we'll get some callers. I'm sure that people will see us in the Blog Talk Radio homepage.
We were just finishing up with Melina.
I know. I feel so bad for Melina because she does not know we're back on the air, but perhaps if
maybe
she's
she'll be coloring
on
her hair by the time.
That's right. So anyway, that's...
So we're doing 45 minutes.
Well, we're doing 45 minutes. We already did 15. So... anyway, we are talking about the personality of the third eye today. And where we left off, I think we were talking about the dream world and how the third eye releases in the dream world, depending on the personality of the third eye and the person associated with it. That's where we left off on Wednesday.
The third eye by itself, the third eye is a fascinating energy because it lives in the vicinity of this, it's inhabited within the brain. Its habitation is the brain gland, but it's like the most alien part of our being. It doesn't really connect to the rest of the body. It's a stranger to the rest of the body, so it's like a stranger in a strange land. Because it's really the only part of the body that extends beyond the physical lifetime of the body from birth to death. So imagine you could equate it to the soul, because the soul is the long journey that goes over lifetimes and over lifetimes, and the soul inhabits, becomes part of each new identity on the earth that occupies it. So the soul has all this vast information and all these vast experiences, both worldwide and astral energy and soul and spirit and celestial. It's got all that information, and within each lifetime it gets tucked into an identity that is specific to one lifetime. So one lifetime holds this wealth of information embedded in the pineal gland, which is another synonym for the third eye. And that third eye has so much information, but it's confined because it's condensed and somewhat restricted in giving out all the energy it can. When it does release itself, which it does do during a person's lifetime many, many, many times over, it goes through an energy field of the person's psyche, the person's personality, and it cannot just be separate from that personality. It takes its absolute knowledge and merges it into the personality of the individual that's occupying it. So therefore, the third eye takes on a certain sense of a personality as it explores and moves outward into the astral field.
So I think this is Melina back. So I want to take her, Neil, and then we'll get back to talking. Hi, is this Melina?
Yeah, this is Melina. Hi.
Hi, we're so sorry. Technical problems, but now we are all settled. So we're good. We're good. Okay, so
okay,
where did
so
we
good.
Leave off, Melina?
Yeah,
do you remember?
You were getting your hair done. It was about a year ago.
About hair done, yes.
But here's the good news. Here's the good news, Melina. That kind of validation I'm getting, you know, you might say, well, isn't it common? Girls and maybe guys, they change their hair, they dye their hair, they do different things. That's not what's phenomenal about the psychic impression that we received. What's phenomenal about it is that it sort of validates another approach to another situation, which is about relationship. So we're taking this common validation, but we're putting it into a bigger picture that you're going to be in a relationship perhaps by September. Now, if you tell me you're in one now, I'm going to be nervous about that one breaking up, because I see something new coming in September. So first of all, are you in a current relationship?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah. So does September in your world, does September have any other meanings? Anyone's birth date in September? Does September have any significance to you personally or somebody you know?
September, no one that I know. No one's birthday or... I mean, September to me always means beginning of school, but I'm graduating this month, so I don't know what
okay.
it also means.
Well, right now, on the page, is a relationship in September. We haven't attached it to any validations around you, but a relationship in September. And did you ever in your life I don't care if it's your major or what, but did you ever in your life take a psychology course in school?
Oh, yeah, I'm a psychology major, so.
Hard to hear you. Speak up,
Melina,
right into your receiver.
I'm a psychology major, so I get a lot of classes.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's a good validation.
So you see, that's a validation. Yeah, see, that's a validation. Because I'll be honest, when I got psychology, I thought that's what you were, but I chickened out and said, well, did you ever...
I chicken out all the time.
Yeah. But to be honest with you, when I'm an honest guy, I felt psychology was your thing.
Well, and you mentioned it, so that's
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did. Okay, so let's just say, let's give me the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, said it. And what he was really implying was that was going to be my major thing. So you're going to be successful, Melina. Why? Well, we're psychic, so we know from that point. Two, we're perceptive on listening to the voice. Both Chris and I are very perceptive on that. And we can analyze from the voice with our own psychic intuitive input what a person is all about. And we can also get from that energy a sense of the future. That's how we read. We're both trained there. So you're going to be married in this lifetime. So you're going to be married.
Yeah.
That's one. Two, when you're working, are you going to be a clinical psychologist? Are you going to be what kind of psychologist?
You know, right now I'm applying to like an analyst position, and I never thought, but it's a very interesting one because they do more behavioral assessments, and I'm really interested in that. But I was thinking of applying to clinical psych PhD program, but I wasn't.
So doing further schooling as you maybe work part time in your field.
Yes. I'm planning to take a year break to work somewhere and then maybe determine from there on which PhD program to be in or master's program.
You're going to be successful. And, you know, I've got a degree in psychology, so I'm in the field. Now, my suggestion to you is that you kind of, the behavioral aspect of psychology gets a little bit less and less personal. There's more of an analytical surveying of the psyche in behavioral science, and there's more of a manipulation of goal and endeavor in terms of not getting so much into the intimacy. There might be an approach to, in terms of the intimacy of psychological counseling, but a behavioralist will, they take it a little bit less intimate, if you know what I'm saying.
If you go into
clinical psychology and you're very comfortable having one-on-one sessions and building a relationship with a patient and moving through their energy and also like being their guide and helping change the dynamics of their upbringing and their history and trying to understand and analyze where they are, it's a very exciting field because you're always probing into the psyche as opposed to probing into just the behavior and trying to alter it by, reinforcement and all that kind of stimulus response and all these other scientific terms that are going to reduce the intimate journey. They both are valuable, but my sense is that there's going to be something very intimate about your approach to psychology, and that will mean having a more heartfelt foundation with your potential patients. I also see that when you go to work, you're going to feel very happy inside because you're going to have, behind work, you're going to have a secure husband and a secure household.
Yeah, and that's
so
nice.
When you're at work, you know, no matter what goes on at work, you're going to always think, God, I'm going home, I have a secure house, I'm very happy. You know, you're not going home to an empty house.
Yes.
And you're not going to be a lonely person. This is what we perceive as we speak.
Oh, that's good. Did you say that I should focus more on clinical psych, or is just...
You can do what you want. But our suggestion is that you approach, that you take a good hard look at clinical psychology because, you know, we're readers and that's just what we are sensing. Do you want to add
There's
anything?
More interaction in clinical as opposed to behavioral is what you're saying.
It's a different way of exploring the psyche,
right,
and the approach you take.
More intimacy with the patients in the clinical approach rather than the behavioral.
Yeah, somewhat, uh-huh. What do you think, Melina?
No, that's true, because every time the volunteer work I've done, like just being around patients, because I thought at first I wanted to be a nurse or a doctor, I like talking one-on-one with patients, and I feel like I get to know them more, and I like the interaction. While I was volunteering or working at whichever jobs I've taken, for the past like few years, I've realized that's what I like the most, just interacting one-on-one. But PhD program, such a commitment, and looking how long they take, I'm like trying to make sure that I'm definitely in love with one, so I'm not regretting like anything. But just hearing from you, it's like that I do have a special relationship like with psychology, then it helps me because for the most part, I have trouble with college, and now that I found like a major that I liked, that it was worth it. So
you're going to have it's going to be a more fascinating journey, I think, you know, aside from the statistics and the scientific studies and the behavioral studies, you might lose the intimate quality because you're kind of looking more broadly at how to treat a patient according to a consensus, according to a general analysis, and then you categorize them according to type. In clinical, you may see type, but during your studies in school, you're going to get more enriching stories about theories, the human element of theories, humanistic psychology, case studies of individuals. You get to have the opportunity of going individually into a mind, separating all the theories and getting to the pinpoint of what a person's experiences are.
Instead of putting them in a box, a category of, well, you know, this person has this disorder or that disorder, there's more of a...
Or in the treatment,
personal.
Or in the treatment, you know, of positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement, stimulus response. You know, you're not changing, trying to change their behavior. You're going deeper and trying to understand their human experience. Some psychologists, psychiatrists, and psychologists say we don't care about that. We just want to change their behavior. So we'll use different approaches to change their behavior. We don't care about, you know, that's fine. We collect data about their past and everything, but our goal is to change their behavior through positive, negative reinforcement, stimulus response, things like this, and other advancements they have with medications and other forms of input. The psychologist will get deep into the story, and now you involve the patient in a deep commitment to a dialogue. They both have their merits, and sometimes they both need to have their say, and then you need that approach. Sometimes you need it because not everybody responds to intimate psychology. But the ones that you will have, I think you're going to have a much more rewarding experience, especially if you have some challenges in getting through college with the interest level being high.
Okay. Well, Melina, we've got to take our next caller, but hopefully that helps the insights that was offered today. And we wish
you
luck. You're welcome. And Melina can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter and on Blog Talk Radio. And we have, I believe this is Gunjan.
Hi, yes? How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Hi, Gunjan. How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to call in to see if you picked up anything.
Well, are you surrounded with any sadness right now?
No, not really.
No. Are you working?
Boredom, maybe.
Well,
boredom?
Are you working?
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's what I'm picking up on. So you're still without a job?
Yeah.
Is that depressing you at all or making you feel...
Yeah, it's depressing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Boredom.
Then that's it.
Boredom, depression.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, the first statement on the first line is you're supposed to be working, so something's wrong. I don't think you're
sorry, I'm going to interrupt you because last time we talked to Gunjan, I think that June was the projection of when she would be working again. So we're still, you know,
June,
a few weeks.
Really? June?
Yeah, it was June during the summer. Isn't that right, Gunjan? Gunjan?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. So we're still short of that.
Okay.
By that time,
we're
I said. So we're in the window.
But now... Maybe I'm influenced by her sense of depression. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm being over exuberant about, well, you should be working now because you're depressed.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see if we can rearrange this energy briefly on the radio in the brief time we have. You know, they're short readings, Gunjan. But maybe if we said June, and you're going through depression somewhat, and it's getting to be a harder struggle than you would otherwise wish for, even if you think about June as an employment date, maybe on a human level we're impacted by, well, we don't want Gunjan to be depressed. Something must be wrong. Let's see if we can change this around. So let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Has your husband had recently any mild car problems with vehicles?
Car problems with vehicles.
Well, I don't want to.
Well, we're being real.
I wanted to make sure I was hearing car right. So I was emphasizing vehicles.
Yeah, I got it.
Car
it's
problems, vehicles.
Entertaining.
Anything at all?
Yes.
Okay. What was that problem?
He just bought a new car and it's a secondhand car, and we're hearing a noise coming out of the car.
Okay, you see, Gunjan? So that Now, that is a validation for approaching the chance of you getting a job earlier than later. Okay?
Have you applied? Are you applying for jobs right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so one, we got a validation, but two, the validation comes in with its own problem. You got a new car that's a secondhand car, and now it's making a noise. You're trying to find a new job, but there's noise going on, and you're not quite ready. See, sometimes probably what I picked up on was your husband's karmic energy with cars. I was just dealing with a client today about vehicles and cars and what they mean. And I've dealt with clients in the past when I've said, you know, you have terrible karma on the road, and some of them have even died on the road thereafter. So we have karma in cars to various degrees, aside from the fact that it's just normal things that go on.
And somehow this is relating to her job. They're connected.
There's a connection. It's a metaphor. The car, the problem your husband's having with the new secondhand car and the noise that's coming up is a metaphor for the problem you're having for the approaching depression, is the noise, in the secondhand job. You're going trying to get another job, and something's wrong. So it could be the delay could be to your benefit because it's keeping you
from a bad job.
But we're trying to wave a banner, brings you into a job immediately that is going to be good. So let me ask you something. Have you been working at all with material, colorful material, something with color? Have you been putting food color into anything? Are you making anything? Fabric-wise, anything with color?
No, I'm not. Not with color.
Nothing with color. Nothing colorful.
Do you have, do you have anything like a flag type thing in your home for decoration? Do you have any material you have on the wall that's framed? No.
Nothing comes to mind. Sorry.
Okay. Then it's totally symbolic. It's energy. Color, it's like you're making something with color. It's almost like a flag, but then it's like fabric. You ever made clothes or your children's clothes?
Hello?
What'd you say?
Hi. Can you hear us, Gunjan?
You were cutting off, so I didn't hear the last part.
So have you ever made your children clothes was the question.
No.
Nothing like that. She wears makeup, though. You wear makeup. I mean, I don't know if we're stretching here, but, I don't know.
It's symbolic at any rate. And if it's symbolic, do you wear bright colors?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So you're wearing a bright. You know, the thing we're going to have to limit and also maybe hopefully expect is that the energy of this reading, even in its brief course, might give you a response from a potential employer that will ask you for an interview and give you a job. Well, we're going to put out the possibility that even by May 25th, which is Friday, 2 weeks from now, you'll be working. Let's put that out first.
Okay.
I guess we're going on this weird premise about the car having a problem. And like that. So, now you're sure about the coloring. Do you ever bake for your children?
I mean, yeah, I have.
Do you ever decorate cakes?
I was just looking at something on Facebook that was, they were icing the cake with colorful colors.
That's probably what, that's,
that
yeah.
could be, because it might yeah. look like a flag in my mind.
Okay.
So it's connected to kids too. or any of your children in the third or fourth grade? I can't recall. Gunjan?
Second grade.
They're already in the sixth grade? My God. They go
they're
so
in the sixth grade?
No, second grade. Second grade.
Oh, second grade. They're sixth. I was thinking they grew up fast.
Oh, are they both in the second grade?
Second grade.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're both
they're
in
twins.
The second grade?
They're twins.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to call these somewhat validations of sorts, because we might be working in a very strange world of connecting you to the job. Is your husband happy? Is he okay with his job, aside from the car problem?
Yeah, he's happy.
Okay, so we just have you to contend with. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We're going to put out May 25th.
Okay.
You be aggressive with the work at hand. The work. Are you still looking into advertising?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to look into that. Remember the letter L, as in Lambert. Remember the letter L. There's a Warner Lambert, or there used to be a Warner Lambert. I don't know why I'm getting Lambert, but it was advertising. Well, they're a company.
They're like medical company, like pills and whatever, pharmaceuticals.
So look at your list of potential employers.
Well, this is kind of strange. I'm having an interview on Monday, and the person I am interviewing with, one of the person's last name kind of sounds familiar, like what you said, Lombardo.
That's why.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why. So maybe this job maybe could be a promising job.
It could be. This could be it. Let's put out Lombardo is more Italian, Lambert is more English. But let's put out, it's probably what we're seeing. That's probably it. You know, you get these signals through the energy fields. You can't always you misread a little bit. So that's probably what it is. Let's put out that's going to be it, or that is the positive goal line that leads to a positive goal line. Something about that interview is going to be important. You're going to have it on Monday. So let's put out good energy for that. We're expecting you, if we're lucky, you're going to be working by May 25th or have a job by then, and you're going to be happy. And Pedro says on Napoleon Dynamite, all your dreams are going to come true.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good luck, Gunjan.
All right, bye.
Okay, take care, bye-bye. Okay, so we have a few more minutes, Neil, to talk about the personality of the third eye. So where were you?
Well, we were talking about the psyche, how it goes through the psyche.
Right.
You know, it goes through the personality of the energy. And how can you not, right? How can you not get in connection with your third eye and extract your personality
right.
at the same time, unless you're just like totally,
which,
you know, Edgar Casey going into some
trance? Of course, which brings up the importance of stability and grounding, especially when trying to develop the third eye, because if you're not grounded, balanced, and stable, then accessing the third eye is going to be much more difficult because it's going through all those emotions of instability.
The third eye can experience actually a roadblock. It can be apprehended by the psyche itself. So as the third eye goes out into the astral realm, it can be apprehended by the psyche of the person.
Right. We were talking on the last show about the physical blocks that can hamper the function of the third eye, but also, you know,
let's say the third eye is trying to get out and see the visions of the universe, and the person with the third eye, they're going through troubles, they don't feel well, they're going through anxiety. Their visions may now be polluted
with
their own anxiety, so they'll say, maybe if they're doing a reading with somebody, do you have a stomach? No, I don't have a stomach ache, but the reader does. And so the idea that you have to sometimes
separate.
You know, the yolk from the white, you have to separate the psyche, the third eye, from your own personality. I mean, you can infuse it with personality in your delivery or your conference. You can be humorous. You can be solemn. You can have different approaches in terms of your personality when you're in the chorus line of the third eye. You can have that background personality. But the thing that the third eye fears most is that it's pierced by or impaled by personality.
Right. So we're talking about the ego, really, because the ego can really influence the third eye. And if someone's ego is too dominant, then readings are not going to be accurate.
Right.
I mean, you can get, we've talked about this before in terms of certain, maybe, psychics that are in the forefront, you know, have a lot of fame, and there is a certain accuracy. I mean, the ego can be powerful and align with the third eye and allow for accurate readings. But generally speaking, if someone's ego is too dominant, then it's going to be a little bit.
It gets a little bit embarrassing. I know plenty of psychics who say, "Oh, we're going to have a major earthquake. We're having it. I see it. We're having it." Something's going to happen. This is going to, and nothing happens. And they go, well, it's going to happen next month, or that was just a warning. They didn't really see anything. What happened was they interpreted a psychic vision through their personality, through their own ego, through what they really believe. It's one of the hardest things that I experienced in my early years in psychic development was, how do I separate my own feelings from the purity of a psychic vision? It was very difficult for me to work through, but I was conscious about it. I had to really apply myself and spend years developing that separation. I still make mistakes, but I'm much more conscious.
Well, nobody's perfect, obviously. You know, nobody's 100% accurate.
No, they aren't, and I'm certainly not. But what I did was I aggressively investigated how to do that, because it was difficult. And you have to be able to really separate. And this goes for myself included. This goes for every psychic, because the personality pertaining to, and in contrast to the psychic eye, they have to be distinct.
So your example was, you know, someone predicting an earthquake, which is like a world event. But when you're, I mean, on a smaller level, most psychics out there that we're aware of are doing individual readings, you know, working with people on a personal level. And the problem is, you know, mixing your, I mean, you're joining your chakras when you're working with someone. And if your energy is too overpowering, then you're not going to receive anything accurate from that person.
There was an example. A woman called me up and said, "My daughter's a psychic, blah, blah, blah. And she said, if I go into an operation, I will be dead."
Yeah, we talked about this on a recent show.
"I'll be dead like
that." Well, I mean, she wasn't psychic. Anyway, I mean, degree.
The point is, she believed she had a psychic vision.
Yeah, she believed she was psychic and she was seeing all kinds of stuff. But anyway, that's a different.
So, but when I said to her, "No, you're going to be fine. I don't see that. No way do I get that vibration." And she had the operation. And at that time was successful in going through the operation. She didn't die at that point. Later, much later in time, I believe she ceased. But at that point, no. Sometimes we really think we know. We really believe we know. And that is more the personality than the psychic. It's very tricky to separate the purity of the third eye through the personality of the holder.
Right. And then, you know, there's people that say, "I'm hearing spirits and spirit is telling me this and telling me that." And it's really the person's mind and not spirit. Personally, on my psychic journey, I am very, very careful about what I claim to be psychic and not. I err on the side of caution. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And that's wise. I mean,
But people that are, you know, when you desire something so much and you want to have power being a psychic and control over people's lives or, you know, be a sage or whatever it is, then that can get overwhelming,
especially when the ego becomes so predominant that psychics will be making promises that they can do anything.
Right, that you can clear karma, which is bullshit. You know, if anybody's telling you they can clear your karma in past lives, you know, Jesus Christ didn't claim to do that for people. So nobody on this planet is going to be able to clear someone's karma entirely.
Well, your sins are forgiven. That's a different element, and we're dealing with a different character. But because there is that.
Well, yeah, that's a different thing.
Cleanse is a certain cleansing of energy.
Cleansing that can happen.
That's an anointed kind of energy directly from God.
Right.
It doesn't come by the personality of their. See, that's again the that's the personality of the person claiming something more than the psychic ability.
Right. And on the level of someone claiming to be able to clear all karma and fix someone's life, I mean, that is just not. I mean, Christ may absolve someone of their sins, but he wasn't claiming to be able to fix someone's life entirely. There were things that the person needed to do in terms of following Christ and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's some procedures. But what is the personality of the psychic eye apart from the personality of the beholder of the psychic eye? Does the psychic eye have a personality? What does? It amasses a certain amount of energy from past lives. So there's a collective energy in the third eye. The third eye can be impounded with tragedy, the sensitivity of trying to help others, of certain sacrifices. It can be impounded with greed. We aren't saying that the third eye doesn't have a history of energy. Even on the astral realm, in between lifetimes, when the third eye is totally in the occupancy of the soul without the body, before the soul reenters into another body, there is a certain sense of a deliberate conversation with the earth life and how things are being worked out in that regard. So there's always a conversation until a soul totally transcends and is in the realm of higher energy, the heaven, if you will, the higher dimensions that are no longer subject to the gravitational pull of the earth, even through karma, there's always going to be a conversation about earth. And it starts with the very creation, when God starts to create and connect to the earth and starts to impound it with codes and symbols and classifications and number designs. Everything starts to get classified until it leads virtually to the ultimate plot of mankind, womankind, humankind. Then it becomes a plot that rises and then falls. There is this energy level of rising and falling according to what? Free will, personality, maybe an ultimate design. But within that design, there seems to be this debate, what is the free will of the personality as opposed to the direct control of the soul and spirit according to a master plan, the creator, the, you know, whatever you want to call it in terms of its more of its obscure synonym or noun, title. So this aspect is still arranged under the conception that we are part of something much more powerful than our personality, but yet our personality wants to claim it, wants to absorb it, wants to control it. And that's where the individual has to divine some method or behavioral pattern, if you will, that separates the personality from the third eye. Even though the third eye can be humorous and have a certain stream of consciousness, if you will, because there's a delivery of dialogue there and whatnot. a lot of the pure mystics didn't even speak. They wrote what they saw.
Which is funny because the personality happens to be the mediating factor between the personality and the third eye. I mean, it takes self-awareness, discipline. Those are all expressions of the ego itself. So
right.
That's why it gets somewhat tricky.
it's strange because some of the great mystics were monotone. I mean, when you read the great sacred writings, there's no personality there. There's just, when you look at Nostradamus.
Nicodemus. We're going back to biblical times.
Yeah.
Nostradamus.
It's funny, I knew Nick in a past life. But,
probably did. We probably both did.
Nostradamus, when you look at St. John, people who wrote great works, obscure, mysterious works.
There's not embellishment of the personality or.
Yeah, it wasn't dry humor. You know, it was more of a objective energy of vision. It was serious in tone, and the third eye does occupy that state, if you will, that there is, when you become a psychic, there's a certain monotone of delivery. It's just, that's the way it is. And it's very deep and it's very solemn, it's very stoic. So the attitude, if you're going to induce it with personality and be humorous or try to put your ego into the vision, the more you do that, the less purity
you have
in terms of the third eye conception.
So before someone tries to put personality into it, they should really work on the pure connection without.
Right. And we don't mean to imply you can't be a humorous.
I mean, obviously we're humorous.
Samuel Clemens was a great observer of human life, and he was also a humorist. There's nothing wrong with putting humor into it. But what we're trying to suggest is the psychic energy as apart from the personality of the occupier, who occupies that energy, and that even though the third eye does have a certain sense of person in it, because it's a compilation of so many different past lives, there's got to be a way that the third eye is released from the body without carrying with it in its travels the psyche of the person who possesses it at the time,
right.
that it's involved in the energy. So.
Yeah, we're almost out of time.
We're almost out of time. We have a couple minutes.
About 2 minutes. Okay, we're going to be getting our little warning in about 30 seconds. But.
Well, hopefully we're not being, you know, redundant here and repetitive in our delivery about what the personality is of the psyche, because the psyche is something very, very sacred. And also the trick is to go into the third eye and to explore past life. You will get personality out of that. You will see your past lives emerging and what you were and who you were. And you're also looking at the same time that you're part of the continuation of that storyline. You're now, you're like a president. You're now taking on that role of being part of the history of the third eye. Until the third eye finally gets rid of the planet, doesn't come back, the soul is complete, and now the soul marries the spirit, and there's no body left. No more body, no more physical life, no more earth. It's soul and spirit, and that's that essence of a new journey in and of itself.
Okay. Well, Neil, we are back on the air on Wednesday. Hopefully we will have a problem three in terms of technical problems. Oh, I'm sure we will. That doesn't usually happen.
Yeah,
but it's created a nice little adventure for us. So 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. Thanks, callers and listeners. Bye-bye.